Amen. Do you believe that this morning? That was some good stuff. That was, I just about started prancing on that one. I want that to be our prayer for this new year. Going in there, that we're going to see victory and what the enemy meant for evil, that God is going to turn it for good. Man, do I want to stand on that word. I think we ought to give the Lord another praise offering this morning for that. God, grant that and make that happen, Lord. Amen. Father, if we just take a moment between Marty's words of encouragement and Josh and Michelle's song, I feel like we've already been spoken to, Lord God, that you've already begun to minister to us into this new year, allowing us, Lord God, to sense your presence. It is our prayer that we would see victory in these areas of our lives that have been a struggle, that we would see victory and the enemy would go down in Jesus' name, that would cause us to stumble, that would cause us to be discouraged, that would cause us poor health in the name of Jesus. May those enemies go down. As we go to your word today and we look at leaving a legacy and making an impact and being strengthened and having our focus be on you, Lord God, I'm asking that our hearts would continue to be open and that you would anoint and bless your word, that each one of us would go out of here receiving it in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the same God that brought the people of the Bible through all of those things is the same God that we serve today. Help us to remember that and stay focused, Lord God. And we ask that in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Esther, and the book of Esther is between Nehemiah and Job. In a moment, we're going to be there, and I want to talk a moment for leaving a legacy. What do you want people to remember you by? What do you want to see happen in that time that the Lord has you here? And you know, when you think of eternity, we're here for a moment, and sometimes that can be a struggle if you're going through a hard time because you just think this time would never end. But when you put it up against eternity, it's only a few moments. And I can't believe that I'm saying 2020. Something's happening again. There we go. This time I didn't move, just dropped out. I can't believe that in 2020, saying that, because it seems like just not too long ago we were worrying about Y2K, and that was 20 years ago. Or you know, struggling with some of the things that are going on. And I just think Barbara Walters ought to say, this is 2020. I think she should have done the New Year's Eve party because she said 2020 for so long, and now here we are. It's 2020, and time just doesn't stop. So my question to you is, what in that period of time, what do you wanna leave for a legacy? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to shake off some of those things that hindered me. I don't know about you. Aren't you ready? I'm ready to shake off some of those things that hindered me. I'm ready to shake off some of the things that hindered my family. I'm ready to shake off some of the things that hinder the church and my country and, you know, even what my neighbors are going through. I'm ready to shake off anything that wouldn't bring honor and glory to God. And I'm ready to do that. But if I had to be honest, that's a little scary too, isn't it? When you stop and you think about it, that, you know, I'm a little scared, and I don't want that to stop me from anything that God wants. I don't want it to stop me from receiving whatever he has. Whatever God's offering in 2020, I want it. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes you think, well, Lord, I don't want to be greedy, but as I go into this new year, whatever the Lord is offering, whatever he's willing to give me, I want it. I want to be not standing in the wrong line. I want what he has for us. And I want change. And I'm even willing to say to the Lord, even though some of the things I don't like change, but maybe you're like me, some of those things, I'm a creature in habit in a lot of different ways. And I'm willing to stand before the Lord and say, I want change, and I'm willing to let change begin in me. I'm willing to allow change to work through me. And I don't want to blame anybody else. I don't want to look at anybody else. I just want the Lord to do something new. Anybody else feel that way? That this would be the year. And I think of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 where Solomon is just saying there's a point in time for everything. There's a point in time to plant, and there's a point to uproot. There's a time to gather, and there's a time to scatter, and there's a time to keep, and there's a time to throw away. One of the things that in this new year, whatever the Lord wants me to keep, I want to keep. Whatever he's telling me to throw out, throw out. And you know, there's a time of mourning, and there's a time to be glad, and there's a time to dance. How about you? I'm ready to do some dancing. I'm ready to dance in the Lord. I'm ready to receive what he has. I'm ready to tear down what he wants to tear down. And whatever he wants to build, I want to build. And whatever he wants to heal, I want him to heal me. And if we approach that as we go into the new year, I believe that's why the song ministered to me so much. We're going to see victory. And whatever the enemy wanted to destroy and hurt us with, that the Lord's going to bring it down. And to me, and I'm learning not to make resolutions, because most of the time with good intentions, they don't last long. But if we did what I just said there, wouldn't our lives be better? Wouldn't they make a difference? And there has been so many people that have influenced my life. Maybe you're thinking that too. Think for a moment, all of the people that have influenced your life, and some of them I've never met. When you stop and you think about authors, and you start thinking about speakers where you've heard them, but you really didn't know them, but something that they said has made a difference. And I think back to some mentoring pastors that I've had in my past. I think of some wise business people that have been in my lives that have shared some of life experiences. I think of friends and family and everything else. There's so many people that have influenced us. And then on this side of glory, I'm thankful, but according to Hebrews 12, they are going to be the clouds of witnesses waiting for us. And I'm excited for that. There is a lot of people that I want to thank for investing in my life. And I just found out not too many days ago that my friend that was 104 years old, Bernie Marshall, passed away, and I didn't know it till after the fact and wasn't able to go to his funeral. But that was one of those influencers. You know what I'm saying? Those are one of the people that influenced my life, that made a difference. And I want to tell you this morning, there is people that mentor you, and then there's people that you should be mentoring. Amen? That you should be investing yourself in people. You should be open enough that you're allowing people to mentor you. If you're the smartest person in the room, you probably ought to change classes. I'm serious. Because you should be around people that are mentoring you. And it should always be trying to go upscale where they are bringing knowledge to you, and then you're bringing knowledge to someone else, and you're able to make an impact. Those people make an impact on us. Those people are placed in our paths for a reason. It's intentional. And my question is, what legacy are you going to leave behind before the Lord brings you home? And I think 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we're back on. It's coming and going. when I think about this, leaving a legacy, when I think about the people that have been involved in my life, when I think about the responsibility that I have to be a mentor, some of that can be challenging at times, because when I make a statement that you're thinking you're an outgoing person, that you're just going to share and open up your heart, and that may not be you. But here's the thing. You may not be able to take anything to heaven with you. There's going to be no U-Haul on the end of your coffin. But we can send things up early. You say amen to that? You can send things up early. You can be a blessing to somebody. You can mentor somebody. You can make a difference in somebody's life. You can do all of these things and make that difference. See, we're not saved strictly to move to heaven. That there's a mentorship, there's a responsibility to people around us. We're called to make an impact, and evangelizing a part of it. And when I looked at the book of Esther, you really have to read all the chapters of Esther to get the full glimpse of that. And if you stopped and think about it, let me give you a little bit of a background, and then we'll just look at a few verses. But you have King Xerxes there, and he has a queen that is disrespectful. Boy, would he have problems in 2020 when you stop and think about how disrespectful people are and the things that we're saying. Well, he got upset that she was disrespecting him and didn't come when he really called her, and he felt that if he didn't do something about it, then the people in his kingdom would see that he was no longer in control. So he gathers all of his advisors together, and they tell him that he ought to cast Queen Vesta out of the kingdom, and that he ought to get a new queen. And I think there's like 127 provinces in Persia at the time. It's a humongous kingdom, and he begins to have this beauty pageant of all the available virgins that could be the new queen. And the main characters of this whole book is King Xerxes, and then he talks about his queen, then he talks about Mordecai, then he talks about Mordecai's cousin Hadassah, which is Esther, and this the hangman Haman. And if you look at all of this, and he's coaching Mordecai, is coaching Esther to be a part of this big pageant, but don't tell him that you're a Jew, Esther. Don't tell him that you're Jewish. Just get involved in this and see where it goes, but don't tell him. And Mordecai, as all of this process is going around, he's standing outside of the gate, and he hears two of the kingsmen saying that they plan to assassinate King Xerxes. And he goes back to Esther and he says, tell the king what is going on and let him know. And so he tells Esther. Esther goes back to the king. He finds out that it was true. He comes back and he comes to Haman, his number one man, and he says, you know what? How can I bless a hero? What should be the thing that I should do for this, for a hero that means a lot to me? Well, Haman is thinking that the king is talking about him. So he says, you know what you ought to do? You ought to put him on this magic horse and take him through your kingdom and have all the people bow down to him and hail his name and make him in charge. And the king goes, okay, Haman, this is what I want you to do for Mordecai. Can you imagine the rage that is flaring up in this guy as he thought that all of these wonderful things that he was telling the king was going to be what the king was going to turn around and do for him to have to do that to Mordecai? And not only did he want to kill Mordecai, but he wanted to wipe out all the Jews that were living during that time. So you can see this as we pick it up here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It saves us from reading about 4 or 5 chapters. But if you start on on verse 1 of chapter 4. We'll pick it up there. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was going on, troubling Mordecai, and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict and for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Now, let's grab this. The first thing I want to show you here is that if you're going to leave a legacy, you're going to have to get involved in people's lives. Amen? You know, write this down. If you're going to leave a legacy, you're going to have to get involved in people's life. You can't be in isolation. Mordecai here could have said nothing. He could have said, "I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be the bad guy." And if he would have never got involved, he would have never realized that the whole Jewish race was being threatened by Haman. Mordecai was willing to share his blessing and share his resources for a cause that was important to him. Mordecai was a mentor. Mordecai was one that was going to bless others and be a part of others. Mordecai not only reflected on what was important, but he responded to something that's important. Amen. There's a lot of people that say, "That's important." But there's not a lot of people that say, "That's so important, I'm going to get involved. That I'm going to use my resources. I'm going to use my time. I'm going to use all of these things that are available to me, because not only is it important, but I'm going to respond to it." Mordecai pursued his passion, and it became infectious to others and became a part of a plan that God had to bring these things to pass. We're called at times to stand in the gap. Amen. We're called at times to stand in this gap. We're called at times that we're asking God, "What do you want me to do?" And God has put you in a place and prepared you to accomplish it. Let me tell you something. If God's called you to something, he will give you what's needed. Can I say that again? If God's called you to something, he will give you what's needed. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to stretch yourself. But if he's called you to stand in the gap, then he will allow you to have the things that are needed. And if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to reach out to others. Amen? If you say that you're a disciple of Christ, if you say you're a follower of Christ, if you say you're a believer, if you say you're a born-again believer, then you are to disciple and reach out into others. Being a follower of Christ means that what Jesus did, you're going to do. What Jesus thinks is important, you're going to think is important. You will be a follower of Christ. You will be a learner of Christ. You will go where Christ has called us to go. You will do what Christ has called us to be a part of. To go is an action word. Mordecai could have did nothing, said, "I don't want to get involved," but that wasn't what God wanted him to do. He had to go. He had to be in action. He had to follow Christ's example, to be obedient. Christ calls us to be learners. And the two challenges that he had here was to love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and body, And he had to the part to, that says, be holy as I'm holy. And move into the direction that I'm telling you. He has to be your God. He can't just be your buddy. He cannot just be that person that answers our prayer when we're in trouble. He can't just be your religion. See, a lot of people have religion, but they don't have Christ. There's a lot of people that says, I know Jesus, but I don't follow Jesus. There's a lot of people that say, you know, I know that some people ought to go and do these things, but that's not me. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says that you get a get out of jail free card when it comes to evangelizing. He has to be your God. He cannot just be your buddy. Not just one that you call on when you have problems. He says to each one of us, you shall do these things. And I believe that we're seeing today, because the American church over so long, maybe from the 50s, I'm not sure when exactly it happened, but the American consumer, the American church is so consumed with entertainment that we've lost out on the mandate of go. Amen? We've lost out on the mandate that says go, the mandate that says follow, the mandate that says you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And Mordecai could have stayed silent, but to stay silent would have been disobedient to God. Can you say amen to that? If he would have remained silent, he would have been disobedient to God, because he knew he had other plans for him, and he would have purposely not did them. On this side of heaven, to be silent would be in conflict with Jesus' word to go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creations. Luke 9:23, take up your cross and follow Jesus. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 1:17, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Matthew 10:38, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Luke 18:22, when Jesus heard this, he said to them, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Why did he say that? Because there are so many things that we're not able or not willing to let go of. Say amen. Say oh, amen, oh me, oh my, whatever you want to say. You want to leave a legacy that the Lord would approve of, it will be to follow Jesus. It will be a life that is involved in people's lives. It'll be a life that is sharing the good news. What I want on my tombstone, follower of Jesus. That is the best thing that somebody could put on our tombstones at the end of our lives. The legacy that we could leave is for somebody to look at that stone and remember you and say he or she was a follower of Christ. I've been kind of tied up with all of these commercials of late. And the one that struck me this week, and I've had one now, I think 2 or 3 weeks in a row, is the Goodyear commercial that's out right now. And it says, and you know, it's talking about determination. It's talking about being focused. And the commercial says, the blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp worthy. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, man, isn't that's what the Lord's telling us. He's telling us, don't just be anybody. Be a follower of Christ. Be my disciple. In perspective, we're to be followers of Christ and be worthy of being called a Christ follower. Second thing is, if you're going to leave a legacy, it's for such a time as this. Amen? You were born in your dash, so to speak, from the time your birth date to the time you die. You were born in that purpose, in that time, for a purpose. There's something for you to do. As such as this time, most of us see Esther as a book of doing the right thing. But I really believe that this is a book of being at the place where God called you to be and doing something about it. And making an impact. The story of God taking care of his people through Esther. You know that the book of Esther doesn't say anything about God through the whole book? Doesn't the word God is not mentioned in the book of Esther at all. It's a reflection of God in and through Esther and those characters in the Bible. The events in Esther takes place 500 years before Christ, and the Jews are returning home after 70 years of captivity, and Mordecai and Esther are there for a period of time. They're standing in the gap. They're taking care of business, and they're willing to be used by God right where they're at, not wanting to be silent. I think of it, out of the ashes come these good things, out of that period of time, which is a struggle. Anybody else besides me struggling in some things? There's always going to be that. There's always going to be things wanting to trip us up. There's always going to be, you know, countries and people causing, doing bad things. But out of the ashes, God still wants to bring some redemption. Out of those ashes, God still wants to do these beautiful things. Chuck Swindoll, if you remember him, he was on the radio for years. He pastored a church in California. He wrote this in his book called Esther. God's presence is not as intriguing as his absence. Let me start that again. God's presence is not as intriguing as his absence. His voice is not as elegant as his silence. Who of us have not longed for a word from God, searched for a glimpse of his power, or yearned for his reassurance of his presence, only to feel that he seems absent from the moment, distant, preoccupied, yet later we learn that he was present all along. Isn't that good? That's our Lord. Ever hear the term big door swing on small hinges? I know, just me, but I like that saying. God wants to use us, common people, to do common things. But the only problem is when common people do common things with the anointing of God, they turn out to be extraordinary things. And the power of God comes with his anointing and makes a difference. So we can keep all of our talents, we can keep all of our gifts, just dust them off once in a while and be ready to use them when the Lord provides an opportunity. Make sure that you're available when the Lord wants to use you. There is a time to speak and a time to be silent. And the older I get, the Lord's showing me when that is. Amen? See, Mordecai needed to be saying something. He didn't need to be silent at that time. At that time, it would be disobedient. But sometimes I think the older I get, sometimes we need to be quiet, and the Lord uses that also. But we have to be doing it under his anointing. And my question as I wrap this up, as God placed you where you're at for such a time as right now, that workplace, school, trouble in your family, has God placed you there for a purpose? Maybe we ought to be praying about that. Let me close with this thought, and I'm winding up. Maybe I'll take a side road, maybe I won't. We're not an afterthought. Can you say amen to that? You're here for a purpose. There's none of you sitting here that your name is Oops. At least not in God's eyes. God has something for each and every one of us, individually and corporately. You may be one step away from God being a blessing to somebody, or taking you to the next level, or using you to allow someone else to go to the next level. Maybe you are where you're at because God's got a project that only you can do. He's placing you there and giving you a responsibility. Will you accept the task? Will you allow God to work through you? See, leaving a legacy, to me, I'm thankful for whatever people would say to me before I go and what they would think after I'm gone. But I really want to hear, thou good and faithful servant. I really want to hear God, that he's pleased with what I've done in my life for the time that he's given me. I'm wrapping up because time's getting away here, but Romans 12, 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of Christ's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Perhaps, think for a moment, and I'm not looking for hands, but perhaps if the old ways are not working, perhaps maybe you're ready to try something new. Perhaps in your life, you're willing to say, you know what? The most important thing for this new year is a better relationship with the Lord. Perhaps in your life where you're at right now, you've tried some things and they haven't worked, and maybe just make yourself available. Tell the Lord, Lord, whatever you want is what I want. Asking God for his anointing to work through you. See, every Christian is called to do the work of the evangelist. That's 2 Timothy 4:5. Read it for yourself. Every one of us is called to be an evangelist of some sort. We're not all called to preach, but we are called to go into this world and reach the lost, leave a legacy, show somebody the light, show somebody a path to Christ, because no one on their deathbed, I have never sat at the side of someone's bed ready to go into eternity that said, I wish I'd have made more money. It has always been, I wish I would have had more time for those that I love. Make a legacy. Be a legacy and make an impact in people's lives. Amen? That word's for every one of us as we go into 2020. Be sensitive to what God wants to do in your life. Be sensitive to the things that he shows you. A lot of times when the Lord is preparing a heart, all you need to do is be available. Just be available. Let the Lord do what he's going to do. You're just an instrument that is there that he's going to use. And be willing to do that. Amen. Father, as we just move into this really first Sunday of the new year, let it be right on our hearts right from the start that, Lord God, we desire to leave a legacy that we're Christ's disciples, that we're followers of Christ, that our relationship with you is the most important thing we have, and that we're willing to protect it. Father, may we be sensitive to those that you bring upon our paths that need to know Jesus. May we share the good news. May we share a meal with maybe our neighbor. May we just share a good word and want to get involved in someone's life that is struggling. We never know what you're doing in their heart, Lord God. Maybe we're just a tool that would bring it to pass. A new name written in glory. A name that has been encouraged maybe one time that they didn't want to stand up. They had no strength to stand up one more time. Maybe, Lord God, for where you have us, we're the ones to help them up one more time. Allowing them to refocus and see you in a new and exciting way. Help us, Lord God, to do that. Help us to be sensitive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.